Galpiniak, editorial director of Promax BDA, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. You can subscribe to the Daily Brief Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you are enjoying us, please head over to Apple Podcasts, give us all the stars. This helps other people find us. Today, I am super excited to welcome the czar of TMZ, that's what I've named him, Harvey Levin. Harvey has been with TMZ, well, he is TMZ in a way, but anyway, since long before it was even the String of Code that became an internet-breaking website, or TMZ on TV, or TMZ Sports, TMZ Live, Objectified, any of those properties, many of which Harvey will talk about today. Hello, Harvey, welcome.
Hey, Paige, how you doing?
I'm great, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay. You've told the story 1.2 million times. I've heard it a couple times, but let's just refresh for our listeners how TMZ got started.
Well, you know, it started as a digital property. And, you know, the idea was we had just come off a show, me and some of my staff, called Celebrity Justice. And I really loved this television show. And it was the idea of the show was we were kind of following the interactions of celebrities in the justice system. The problem with the show was that we had really crappy time periods, and sometimes we'd have to end up breaking the stories that we got on CNN or MSNBC or Fox, and then by the time it got on our show, you know, at midnight or 1 a.m, it was old news, even though we broke it, and it was frustrating. So when the show got canceled, what attracted me and, you know, my staff was that we could do an online site that was a news operation. At the time, there really wasn't any. And the idea was that if you break stories online, you don't have a publishing cycle, you don't have a time period, and it gives you a huge advantage because when you get it right, you get it up. And it was pretty much as simple as that. I mean, it was much more complicated to actually launch it, but that was the light bulb moment that really kind of was the origin of TMZ.
When did you guys launch TMZ? What year?
2005.
I feel like that was kind of at the forefront too. I mean, definitely the entertainment magazines weren't doing this. They were still holding their exclusives for 6 o'clock or whenever they go on air. And this was before everybody had to sort of throw out that playbook and, you know, you had to go when you had it.
I think so. I mean, I think, you know, part of it was that, and part of it also was publicists really had a stronghold on entertainment reporting. And what we decided to do was that we really wouldn't do interviews. So you couldn't, a publicist couldn't leverage and say, I'll give you this story, I'll give you this interview if you do that story or don't do that story. We said to them, look, you know, we're going to do honest stories, fair stories, and we're also going to make sure that no matter what the story is, good or bad, we're always going to contact you and put your voice in it. And over time, it really resonated with them. And, you know, it really was kind of a change in Hollywood because the old playbook really wasn't relevant to us. And we ended up actually developing pretty strong relationships with most people in town who manage celebrities in various capacities just because we interacted with them a lot.
Also, I think that playbook did end up applying to you, but then you also forced all these other organizations to change.
I mean, I think it was ready for a change. I mean, the model was getting stale. Everybody was doing the same thing. And honestly, I think, you know, everybody was doing these red carpets. And there's a place for it, but it's not really the centerpiece. And it kind of was, I think.
Okay, so there was TMZ, then there was TMZ on TV, which is the show, which is definitely different than TMZ, the website. It's more of, it's almost like a comedy.
Well, the show, I'll tell you, the show was a little bit problematic. When Fox wanted to do the show, we had to figure out, okay, what is the show? Because the last thing we needed was a fifth version of what was out there. And, you know, we didn't want to pretend like we were breaking news at 6 o'clock at night when the website broke something at 11 in the morning. People were too sophisticated for that, and we just didn't want to do that. And so we decided that there'd be a, it's almost like a concentric circle, that there'd be material that was often the same as what was on the website, but it would be presented differently. And we decided that rather than doing, you know, two anchors with a, you know, suit and tie and dress, we wouldn't have an anchor, really. We'd do our morning meeting and follow the morning meeting and use that as the voice of the show. And the voice of the show were the people in the room who were working on the stories in various capacities. And, you know, no director, no anchor, no stage manager, no stage. And it was all in an office and still is.
Yeah, it still is. I have been there and it's exactly as you see it on TV. It's like a big meeting.
Yeah, it really is a big meeting. I mean, and we used to have these meetings before we had a television show. We always had morning meetings, and that's what this is.
Except for your morning meetings are like 100 times more fun than any morning meeting.
The reason, Paige, I'll tell you, that I was so interested in doing this is our morning meetings were really fun long before television. They were really, they were fun. They were funny. And that's why we did it.
The other thing about them that kills me is that they're fun at, I think it's 6 a.m., which is not a fun time for me, but you guys are energetic and intelligent and articulate at 6 a.m. It's incredible.
Well, I think it's, we've gotten used to the time as much as you can.
Yeah, you're an early guy. Okay, so after, so you have these two things going, TMZ and then TMZ on TV, and I'm kind of moving you fast because we have things we want to get to. What launched next?
Well, TMZ Live launched next, and the idea behind that was that, you know, the funny show really kind of hit well, and we realized that there was an appetite for not just the material, but something that was real. And, you know, that meeting, even though it's funny, it's real. And we thought, you know, we're presenting all this material on the website. And there are also stories behind the stories. And people in the office who work on the stories have a take on it and have, you know, sometimes you have things that aren't necessarily in the post. And we thought, let's do a show which is almost like a fly on the wall. And it isn't television and it isn't digital. It's kind of a combination of the two, which honestly is where I think and have thought TV and digital are going to go. I mean, I think eventually they merge and there's not going to be television as we know it and there's not going to be an internet as we know it. I think it's going to all be programming where you combine the assets of both and make compelling programming. And so I've been kind of fascinated by that idea. And I thought, what about blending the qualities of online with the qualities of broadcast and do something in the office, but make it more based on the real stories that are on the website and sometimes beyond. And that's kind of how TMZ Live emanated. And, you know, and also bring people in from around the world who have a voice where they're not called on. They just kind of appear. And so it is this kind of free-wielding show where Charles and I anchor it from here, but everybody in the room participates. We have guests. We have people from all over the world commenting. And it's this kind of seamless blend of, again, the, you know, assets from digital and television.
Yeah. I also kind of see it like the TMZ with the morning meeting is kind of how the ideas get generated. And then TMZ Live is sort of what happened once the ideas were generated, you know, how the stories were pursued, how the reporting happened, all that kind of thing.
Yeah. Except TMZ Live, you know, literally we can blow it up a minute before we go, before we shoot it, and we make it as absolutely as current as we can.
Okay. So then, yeah. And the interesting thing too about TMZ Live, if I remember this correctly, it started off as like on your website and on Ustream or something.
It did. It started out digitally. And what we did was, I went over to KTTV in Los Angeles and I said to the general manager, look, try this show out. Just take it for free for 6 months and see if it works. It's different. And different means something these days. And see if it works. And then all of a sudden Phoenix came in and then another market came in. And TMZ Live literally grew one market at a time during that period. and it was doing well and continued to do well, and we just kept expanding, and we still are expanding. I think we have 13 new markets coming up in fall. So that's really the way that emanated. It was a little bit different.
Yeah, very different. So then from there, you've launched other properties, TMZ Sports, Objectified on Fox News. Tell me the rest.
Well, the bus tour, the celebrity tour. I mean, which I just love. And it's been amazing for us, not just because it's been popular, but, you know, it's like rolling billboards all over. And, you know, on top of that, you know, we get so much content from the bus tour because celebrities come up to the bus all the time. I mean, we get as many celebrities on the bus as we do at Craig's. It's really true. I mean, it's just because I think part of it is you've got all these people on the bus who are really excited to see celebrities, and they're very willing to come up to the bus. And we get so much content for the television shows and the website from the bus that there's a lot of synergy to it.
Let me just say for our loyal listeners that I've taken the TMZ bus tour twice. I'm proud to say that. But I've seen no celebrities, so I think I still have to keep
going. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we got everybody. We see everybody on this tour. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the biggest celebrities in town.
I go at like 10 a.m. I think I go at like 10 a.m. and there's no celebrities out at that time.
Well, I mean, we have gotten everybody in town. It's really crazy.
All right. So that's a good segue, though, into what we're really here to talk about, which is, you know, so you've built these different properties. And a lot of this is just out of you and your staff's ingenuity and sort of willing to launch things, willing to try things. But you've also then taken the different properties and are sort of leveraging them against each other to promote all the different properties. So
right.
To kick that off, is at what point did social media come into play in all this?
Well, social media came into play when social media got big.
Which
and
was when,
social
media.
Say again.
I was like, which was when? I can't remember.
You know what? It's all a blur to me.
Social
media has been a sea change for us in so many ways. I mean, our social media has exploded, and, you know, just the millions and millions. I'll give you the figures, later, you know, if you want to talk again. But mm-hmm. But we have just an enormous social media presence on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter. It's exploded, and we've used it to, you know, push our various properties, push individual stories. You know, I think we put a Conor McGregor video on YouTube not too long ago, got 9 million views. I mean, we are getting just enormous traffic in various ways off of social. And social has really become also a marketing tool for us, you know, not just in the individual stories, but a marketing tool in launching projects. I should say that you mentioned four shows. We have TMZ, TMZ Live, TMZ Sports, and Objectified. We have a fifth show that is going to be on a major cable network, non-branded TMZ. It's not TMZ, but it's on a major cable network that starts in October. And we have four pilots right now that are fully developed that we are pushing. We've got extremely successful podcasts right now, The Red Pill with Van Lathan. We have Behind the Bar with our lawyers, Derek and Jason. On YouTube, we have Rack Rants, which has become insanely popular. That's Raquel in our office. Hollywood Beatdown with Evan and Tyron Woodley. And they're getting huge traffic. So, you know, in various ways, we're really using social to, you know, help fuel and develop the programming, some of which will end up going on broadcast and cable.
So talk about that, too, because I know you consider what you guys are doing at TMZ now really a media studio. And plus, now you've got all these podcasts, so that's even a separate branch of the studio from which, launch.
We are a studio. I mean, when you think about it, we got five television shows. We've got four pilots. We've got enormous presence on social. We've got podcasts. We've got YouTube shows. We have the bus tour. You know, and other things that, you know, we're doing. I really haven't talked about this yet, but we are, I'm not going to talk about it.
What?
I may tell you later, but I got to get permission. But we've partnered with a
You're the boss. You don't have to get permission.
Well, no. I have to get permission. I have to get permission from the other person that we've actually created a partnership with a huge music star to venture into Latin America. So, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Okay. All right. We'll put a pin on that, but expect to hear it first from you.
Okay. You got it.
Can we talk about, like, I mean, this is probably a little more drilling down than you actually do, but let's say you guys break a story. And let's say the whole thing happens with Kanye West and Van, where Kanye made that comment and it exploded, mm-hmm. and then Van did a podcast about it. So how do you guys capitalize on something like that across your shows and across social media to benefit all your different platforms and different shows?
Well, I mean, look, on something like that, it obviously goes up on the website. It's on TMZ Live. It's on TMZ. It's on YouTube. It's on social. So we're able to push things, you know, every which way. And, you know, I really think of all of these properties as concentric circles, that they're not the same, but there are similarities. And when you have things that are similar, where people are coming in one venue, you can push them to another part, another platform, more easily than if you're just kind of throwing darts. And, you know, we're doing this with Objectified. If I could use the example of Objectified just this past week, which, you know, season 2 premiered on Sunday night with Magic Johnson.
Wait, can I ask you a question about that really quick? So Sunday, yep. Okay, season 2 premiered Sunday night with Magic Johnson at the same time that the LeBron James news was breaking,
14
right?
minutes into the show.
Were you like, did you have Magic talking about that at all? I'm sure you didn't, because it was pre-produced, right?
Yeah, no. I found out that they made the deal 5 minutes before they made the announcement. So, right. No. no, there was no talk of LeBron coming, because when we did it, there was nobody was talking about that.
Right.
And I don't know. And you know, we're talking about this on Monday, so I have no idea how it impacted the show. On the one hand, you could think, wow, people are going to go, they're going to search Magic Johnson because he's the one that made the deal, and they're going to come to. On the other hand, you know, they might be saying, oh my God, I got to find out about this trade. So I don't know how it cut, but it did come in 14 minutes into the show. But the lead up to the show, that's what we can do, I think, as well as anybody, because we have so many different properties and they all relate. We ended up talking about Magic several times on TMZ and on TMZ Live and on TMZ Sports last week. And it wasn't an advertisement. It was very organic, because there are always things that come up. And in the case of Magic Johnson, I mean, look, you know, we cover a lot of sports. And when there's anything that even vaguely relates, and at the time, you know, people were talking about LeBron. Well, if you're talking about LeBron, you're talking about the Lakers. And if you're talking about the Lakers, you're talking about Magic. And if you're talking about Magic, I'm talking about Objectified. Right. So that's what happened. And we look for opportunities not to do an advertisement, but to kind of organically say, you know, what we've got and what we're doing, and maybe put a little sound in while we're at it. So we were able to promote the show, the Objectified show on TMZ, TMZ Live, and TMZ Sports. And then on the website, we did homepage takeovers on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So the whole skin of the site was Objectified. And in addition to the skin, where you saw the 10 different people who are going to be featured on the show this season, we had video of both the series and of this specific first episode. So there was a series promo that I think lasted 4 minutes, and then there was an episodic that lasted, I think, 30 or 45 seconds. So we were able to really push it there. And then obviously on social media, we really pushed it. And as a matter of fact, when the LeBron announcement was made, we decided to pivot, because the show is on at 8 o'clock Eastern and then again at 11 o'clock Eastern. Well, at 8:14 Eastern time, that's when they made the announcement. So we decided right at the end of the show, we tweeted that if anybody wants to see Magic Johnson and hear about, you know, his involvement in the Lakers, because people were talking about it. Watch it at 11 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Pacific. And what it did was, it was another promo and another way of telling people who suddenly got interested in LeBron, hey, you want to hear the person who made the deal, Magic Johnson, he's unobjectified in a couple of hours. So we pushed it right to the limit.
And then you have that ability to pivot like that, because you don't, you know, it's not like you have to go cut a promo or something. You can just, you know, do some
exactly.
social media posts and call it, you know.
And it's really effective. I mean, again, because of the reach we have on social, it's instant and it's really effective.
And then also, I know, I don't know if you still do this, but you definitely in the past have done like a TMZ minute on radio, or you call into Ryan Seacrest. Do you still do a lot of radio?
Yeah, I mean, I do some. I mean, I do as much as I can. We're, you know, it's these are early days. But yeah, in fact, I should say I did a lot of live shots last week, a radio and TV, really pushing Objectified. So in some cases, I actually, on some of the Fox stations, I did just pushing Objectified. But I did live shots all week long in New York, in Chicago, in obviously Los Angeles, Orlando, Dallas, Fox Sports 1. We really covered as much ground as we could.
That's in Fox Sports 1, you're getting all that. And also on Fox, you're getting all that World Cup viewership.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, we made a full court press on this.
So, and then also, okay, I want to go back to radio for 1 second, but I'm going to ask you something else about doing these live spots. But the reason I ask about radio is because the last week I was at Station Summit and I went to a session, and these different marketers talked about how, according to Nielsen, radio actually has more reach than television. So, and I know you've always done a lot of radio, so I just thought it was interesting that that's a place you found it important to be, because I think people forget about radio in that context.
We've never forgotten about radio. I mean, it's always been kind of a staple with us, and I agree with that. I think... You know, radio, everybody thinks radio, you know, not everybody, but, you know, some people think, oh, well, radio's a dinosaur. It's not. And radio is a big component of, you know, what we do. You know, people listen to radio. They just do. And, you know, they can listen to, you know, podcasts, and they can, you know, listen to, you know, their own mixtapes. But people go back to radio, and it's just a tried and true medium.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say that you were doing something in TMZ Live, or you're doing a story that touched on the Lakers or LeBron or Magic. Do you incorporate there a promo back to Objectified, or sort of how do you do it so that it's smooth, it's authentic, it's not too jarring for viewers?
Yeah. I mean, we don't do it out of context. If we're talking about something, I'll often just jump in, and I won't hide the fact that that I'm promoting something. I mean, I kind of celebrate it. And, you know, as long as you're honest about it, you know, and I'll call myself shameless when I do it sometimes, but it always relates to the thing that we're doing. It doesn't come out of the blue.
Right. So, and then did that happen at all? Like, did you have opportunities on TMZ Live?
On all of our platforms, we had opportunities. Again, you know, remember LeBron, there was all this talk about LeBron coming. So it was perfect. It was a perfect segue into that. It couldn't have been better.
I know that did. And then it really was perfect. And at the timing when that finally happened, that's crazy. So then do you, with all this traffic that you guys have, is there anything that you do to monetize some of it for your brand partners?
Yeah, I mean, look, that's obviously we're in a business, and my focus when we do this is to make the show that we're pushing successful, and that's the last week my almost singular focus was really pushing Objectified, and you know, when we launch the show in October, I'm going to do the same thing with it, and we have the ability to do that. You know, by pushing people from platform to platform and grabbing people. You know, look, not everybody who looks at the website looks at the television show and vice versa. And so, you know, when you have the ability to reach a diverse group of people, you know, you can go on sports, you can go on, you know, YouTube, you can go on Facebook, and they're all different. You can go on live, which is different from the other show. It's, you know, you're reaching a really large group of people. And my singular focus was, I want to get the word out that Objectified's on again.
Right. I have to do my due diligence here. So the show that's coming up in October, can you tell me the name of it? Which cable network?
I would, except I'm not allowed to.
All right.
And that's because of the network.
But I'm blaming the network. I don't believe Harvey Levin is not allowed to do anything, but okay.
No, I swear to God, no. I can't do it. I cannot do it.
We'll
announce it soon.
Okay. I will look forward to that. So you mentioned some of this, but a lot of it was with your partners at Fox, which is also sort of interesting. Is there any other place you go where you do, you know, you go off your own air, so to speak, off your own platforms to promote these shows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, we did Big Boy this week. We did Jim Rome this week. We don't wall ourselves off in that respect. We go where we go. And this week, Dr. Phil is on Objectified. We profile him. And I actually went and did his show. And that'll air on Friday, promoting the Objectified on Sunday. So there are no borders on, you know, where we go when it comes to pushing the show.
When you select something like Big Boy or Jim Rome or even Dr. Phil, do you guys consider this is the audience watching it or listening to it? So thus, we think this is a good place for us to be in terms of bringing that audience to our show.
Of course, you do. I mean, you want to target it as much as you can. I mean, sometimes you hit a general audience and sometimes you, like, you know, with Magic Johnson, when I did Jim Rome, that made a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
You know, and with, going on the Dr. Phil show, when Dr. Phil is the featured guest on Objectified, that makes a whole lot of sense. So you always try to target it. But a lot of it, too, if you put it out there, like if we put it out there and people are searching for the person, they're going to find that. So there's a certain amount of kind of inevitability when you put that name out there, people find it. So, you know, and it depends on where you do it. They'll find it much more easily if you do it on social media, say, than if you do it on radio, because on radio, it's just who happens to be listening at the time. On social media, you have the search function that allows people to really target in.
I feel like a lot of TMZ's brand across the board is sort of about being spontaneous, live, authentic. And a lot of the promo that you're talking about here also are all those things. You think about a lot of networks where they'll do certain, you know, you're doing a whole campaign that you're designing and strategizing around. Do you guys do that as well? Or do you really focus more on keeping it more spontaneous for social media, et cetera?
I mean, look, we don't have scripts for anything here.
Right.
There are no scripts in this. I don't think I've seen a script in this building ever. So, you know, I know this sounds corny and you may not believe it, but it's true. Like with Objectified, for me, it's pure passion. I am passionate about this show. I'm passionate about this show. I love the show. I love the staff. I just love the process of, you know, how we book it and how we prepare and how we shoot it and how we post it. You know, and how we market it. I love this show. So for me, you know, my feeling is, at least if I'm doing it, I'm a good salesman for it because I believe in this. And I feel so passionately about this show that it's easy for me to talk about. And I don't need a script. And I don't need, you know, talking points or bullet points or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just feel like true enthusiasm about this show. And if I can convey that, then I think it's a good way of selling it.
You feel like your staff, you know, or the team of people that are on air, et cetera, that they also tend to feel that kind of passion for these properties. So that's part of what you guys do for yourselves promotionally.
Yeah. I mean, the staff, listen, they are invested in this stuff. I mean, we, you know, it was funny. We rented a boat in Marina Del Rey yesterday, and the staff for Objectified watched the show, and it was really nice. It was really nice because we watched the show on the boat, and it was, you know, they were just really proud, and it just, everybody kind of felt good getting off that boat because we all kind of came together and we all had worked on this project, and it was just a really nice evening. And I think it's shared passion. I really do.
And then in between airings, you were like, everyone started tweeting about LeBron.
Oh, no, no, well, we didn't stay in the boat till the second airing. We got off.
No. Got off the boat and then fired up your feed.
The next day was a work day, yeah.
Yeah, so everybody was there. That's the thing. They maintain passion at that early hour. It's very impressive.
No, I mean, the staff is great. I mean, the staff is great. And on every level, right now, the news desk staff is fantastic. The staffs on the various TV shows are just great. We have a really social media. Everybody is just pitching in. I'm happier with TMZ today than I have been in the 13 years it's been around.
Okay, that's a good point to end it because I'm a little bit over time anyway. But thank you so much for your time, Harvey. I always love talking to you. And I'll talk to you again.
And my pleasure, Paige. Thanks a lot for doing this.
Yeah, it's my pleasure as well. All right, I'll talk to you again soon when you call to tell me these things that you won't tell me on this air.
I'll see ya.
Paige Albiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. Kareem Taylor produced this episode. Video helper provided the music. Digital producer Kate Lekire-Marion contributes to Daily Brief. Follow Promax BDA on Twitter, Facebook, and other social media platforms at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org, and you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.